entered into between himself or herself and the tenant for writing, provided that the lease will not be subject to the provisions of the formalities in respect of a lease of land Act 1969, Act Number 18 of 1969.
I think this is where, Chair, we must link it with the Consumer Act. Remember, they said the lease, the pro forma lease that we were proposing. The problem that they are having is that the Consumer Protection Act says they must give them a bulky lease with all those things that must be there. And we said we just want the standard pro forma. Mm. So how do we tweak it in a way that says the lease, notwithstanding the Consumer Protection Act or something? How do we get around that one?
Because the Consumer Protection Act wants
We were saying we need to
In terms of this legislation. I think we can put them both. Put them both.
Chairperson.
Chairperson,
the difficulty in there, or the issue that we need to bear in mind, that will of course assist us as well, is that the CPA, that piece of legislation, supersedes any other piece of legislation that relating to consumer-related matters.
Yeah.
If, like, for example, if the piece of legislation provide a better protection, like, for example, in comparison to this one, if this piece of legislation provide a better protection of a consumer as opposed to the CPA, that legislation will apply. But in the instance now that the CPA provide a better protection of a consumer, it also means to say that then the consumer protection will of course be applicable. So I think what we need to do, we need to, to think around it and ensure to say that to which extent that we can provide this particular provision to better actually protect the consumer so that it should not be superseded by the other piece of legislation, because that piece of legislation supersedes any other legislation that relates to matters that relate to consumer protection. So we need to have a look in terms of how do we beef up this provision to better protect the consumers as opposed to that other piece.
Is it not addressed, Glanda, a pro forma? Why can't we bring the performer next to this clause?
When we said we want to push for the performer, the estate agents were saying, but the consumer protection wants us to provide the tenants with the whole bulk. So even if we put the performer, but the challenge they are having is that the consumer protection compels them to make sure that the whole, but we said we can put it in the performer list.
But Chair, the pro forma lease, if you look at page 6 of the bill, it's a new subsection 6A, the minister must develop a pro forma lease agreement, which may be used as a guideline. It doesn't mean, it's not a requirement for each and every landlord to follow this. It's just a guideline for them to follow when they are crafting their own lease agreement. And getting to the Consumer Protection Act, as I've said the last time, I don't believe that it applies or it can take precedence over the rental housing-related matters, because this is the legislation dealing with rental housing matters. The consumer protection is a law of a general application. It applies to all kind of agreements, and more focus is on the rendering of services and goods, and that kind of agreements. This one is more specific, so I wouldn't worry about to align this act with that act. We cannot strictly link it to that, because we can defend it to say it's general, it applies to all agreements. And I've looked at the definition of consumer. The rent, the service, is not even covered under the as a consumer. So it's, I would say this one should supersede because it's specifically addressing the issues between the of rental. And
so
this is rental housing.
They are obliged to when they are doing the lease, then they must.
No, they were raising that because currently they've got that legislation in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they thought that this may affect.
I think what the argument is advancing makes a lot of sense. We should adopt that. The comment that this and the other legislation with the court, they are mutually exclusive of each other is not necessarily correct, because even if you are a tenant, you are a consumer of a particular service that is provided to you. It's just that the circumstances are different. You don't eat, you sleep and stay, and the others where you eat and where. So, but I think his argument is appropriate. If we could adopt that approach, that if this legislation provides better options for the consumer, let it be. But if it's going to be the other one provides more protection, it will then supersede this one. Thanks.
Yeah, even so, if you follow that argument, the legislation is not forcing the estate agency or the landlords to follow a particular form of agreement. It just says it may be used as a guideline. And when we were crafting that at the time, the focus was those who cannot write. Remember now we're saying the lease agreement must be reduced into writing. Before that it was verbal. So those who cannot write, hence it's going to be developed in 11 official languages. So they can follow that approach when they're formulating their own lease agreement. But it does not restrict anyone in to follow their own. And there are already requirements in terms of the Act as to what must be contained in that lease agreement. They can follow their own. This bill is not restricted. It does not restrict.
The subsection say B, by the substitution of subsection 2 of the following subsection, the list must contain the information set out in subsection 6. C, by substitution of subsection 3 of the following subsection, 3, a list will be enforceable in a tribunal or competent court. D, by the substitution in subsection 6 of the words preceding paragraph A of the following words, a list contemplated in subsection 2, in subsection 1, must include the following information. E, by the substitution in subsection 6 for paragraph B of the following paragraph, B, the description of the dwelling which is the subject of the lease, provided that a street address will be sufficient. F, by the insertion in subsection 6 after paragraph F of the following paragraph, FA, information relating to the rights and obligation of the tenant and the landlord as set out in section 4A and 4B. G, by the substitution in subsection 6 for paragraph G of the following paragraph, G, any other obligation of the tenant and the landlord not set out in sections 4 and B or the regulation relating to unfair practice. H, by the substitution of subsection 6 for paragraph H of the following paragraph, H, the amount of any other charges payable in addition to the rental in respect of the dwelling or rental housing property, which other charges must be identified in the lease. I, by the insertion of the following subsection after subsection 6A, the minister must develop a pro forma lease agreement in all 11 official languages, containing the minimum requirements set out in this Act, which may be used as a guideline by the tenants and the landlords.
comment.
Yes. It says containing the minimum.
Mm.
So they can put the details. This is just a guideline, so there's no restriction.
J, by the substitution of subsection 7 of the following paragraph, 7, a list of defects registered in terms of section 44 of section 4A, subsection 4, and 4B, subsection 4, must be attached as an annexure to the list. And K, by the deletion of subsection 9. Amendment of section 6 of the Act. 7, the following sections is hereby substituted for section 6 of the Principal Act. Application of chapter. 6, this chapter applies to all provinces in the Republic of South Africa. Amendment of section 7 of Act 50 of 1999. The following section is hereby substituted for section 7 of the Principal Act. Establishment of the Rental Housing Tribunals. 7, every MEC must, within the first financial year following the commencement of the Rental Housing Amendment Act 2013, by notice in the Gazette, establish a tribunal in the province to be known as the Rental Housing Tribunal. Amendment of Section 9 of the Act, as amended. 9, Section 9 of the Principal Act is hereby amended, A, by the substitution for subsection 1 of the following subsection. 1, the tribunal consists of 4 to 7 members who are fit and proper persons appointed by the MEC and must comprise A, a chairperson who is suitably qualified and has the necessary expertise and exposure to rental housing matters. B, not less than 3 and not more than 6 members, of whom, Roman figure 1, at least 1 and not more than 2 shall be persons with expertise in rental housing, property management, or housing development matters. 2, at least 1 and not more than 2 shall be persons with expertise in consumer matters pertaining to rental housing or housing development matters. 3, at least 1 or not more than 2 shall be persons with legal qualifications and legal expertise. B, by the insertion after subsection 1A of the following subsection. 1B, the members of the tribunal must be broadly representative in terms of gender, race, and disability. 1C, the members of the tribunal must be broadly representative in terms of gender, race, and disability. 1C.
Language is a huge problem. I mean, one would not want the members to serve on these tribunals within a community that does not speak, their language. I just feel that it could hamper the process if tenants and landlords don't understand, or if at least the members that of the tribunal is capable of handling maybe 3 or more languages that is within that province. I'm just trying to. I know that language is a problem. We experience it in many different provinces in the police. When it comes to language, I'm just thinking maybe it would just be good that one or two.
Well, there's this language bill that we
Yeah.
Look, we have 11 languages, and I think that to me it is more about, that people understand when they bring their problem to the tribunal that language do not hamper the process.
Yeah. Let's bring it practically to a rural matatiel. And, Ugogo just wants to be an entrepreneur and decides to lease her hut. And then they have a conflict with the tenant. And then they must go to the provincial housing tribunal. If they've got someone who speaks isiXhosa fluently there, or isiSuthu. Yeah, exactly, Master Tien, isiSuthu. Doesn't it make it easier? Because always, remember, we must think that a landlord is not always a rich
person.
It might be a very poor person. So how do we balance that? And the practicalities in some areas that we are trying to help, you will find such things. How do we deal with that one, Kwesi?
I just think that
we will look at that, deal with that element.
Mm.
Because
something
if we put language, it will be very short, it will be limiting. But if we talk demographics, it deals with everything, including language.
Yeah.
No, it includes everything. Demographics. If you unpack it, it says everything.
What is demographics? Is it the language, the race, the gender, and what is the definition of demographics?
If we go and open a dictionary, it's a problem.
It might give us, a substance of what we want to say, because then it might replace all this that we are putting in, and then in just one way, it covers everything.
Demographics, let's put an African, let's put a colored, then let's put a... The issue of language is not going to be addressed, because it does not mean that I'm an African. I can speak Sotho. I don't Nantala Matatela, but I don't speak Sotho.
Yeah.
But I can understand it, but I don't speak it. So, if you are saying demographics, I think the issue of language, it could be very much important, more especially that we are emphasizing the issue, because the issue of language is being, we're not promoting it, but
We can put language, because we said the pro forma list must be at least in 11 official languages.
Correct.
So, if a person comes there and they have got a Sotho list.
Even in the access to the court, for instance, where people speak different languages, courts provide them with interpreters, because the constitution directs that no one can be discriminated against on the basis of a number of things, that including their language.
Yeah.
So that is already a provided right in the constitution. Whether we want to list it here then becomes the decision of members if they want to specifically refer to the issue of language here. Because if you talk about the right to discrimination, equality, and access to justice, the issue of right is therefore implicated in that, as is currently practiced in the tribunals.
But my question is about the geographical spread in terms of the district, because in a province, there are districts. So I think the issue of language can also be addressed in that.
The dictionary meaning of a demographic. It says studies of a population based on factors such as age, race, sex, economy, and all those status level. But it says that include the population based of a particular area based on the following factors such as age, race, quality, and all those things.
In other legislation, in a similar provision like that, you would say it must be broadly representative in terms of gender, race, and disability, having regard to the demographics of the province concerned.
That's
a standard. Because they must look at
the language.
Demographics doesn't include it.
My perception of what you just said is that gender, race, and disability falls in that demographic, and not language. So I would say that, I would suggest, Jefferson, that we actually just add language.
Having regard to language.
Excuse me? Language, because look, what I'm trying to say is,
Every province is going to have a set of, or is going to have their tribunal.
Mm.
And what we're looking for, and obviously they will go and look at putting people there. If they see the language there, gender has to play a role, race has to play a role, disability has to play a role, and now also in this province, language is also going to have a preference. But we can't put it away that you've said it, because then it's only gender, race, and disability that fits within that.
For instance, let's say a Gauteng. Let me make it easier now. In Gauteng, that has got every multilingual. So, most of the people there, Bateta is a soup.
Yeah.
It's Tswan.
Yes.
Whatever. Then, umuntu ongakwazi ukusithetha isiTswana okanye isiSuthu.
What
happens? Ndiyayiva le yakho.
But interpretation
and understanding is important. But just to also extend it, with Section 30 of the Constitution, first, the Constitution is the supreme source of law, and all law conduct inconsistent with it is invalid. Now, Section 30 of the Constitution says, everyone has the right to use the language and to participate in the cultural life of their choice. So there's a constitutional right to use your language of your choice. And this bill, whether it mentions it or not mention it, does not diminish from the constitutional right that is provided for here.
So that is why we may add language.
Or not add language. Yeah. It will have the same effect here, because the right is already guaranteed in the Constitution.
But the Constitution also gives right
not to be discriminated.
Yeah. It covers all of those as well. We just want to make it easier when it comes to the technicalities of things. We need to with the tribunal.
Well,
we come
to law.
Yeah.
I see people lost their sense of language.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Okay,
people
well,
lose their
rights. Is it a matter of
because of language.
Yeah. The lawyers must just tell us, is it constitutional to put it there? That is all we want. If it's constitutional, then let's put it there. Because what we are trying to do here, you see, we are having logic here as members. But believe you me, when it goes down there, people might not be as conscious as we think. You go there and you find a board is just seven people who doesn't, one of them can speak a local language. Then you've got a problem. Because of they only focus on the expertise and everything. So sometimes we might think the people are thinking logically as we think.
Comrades, members, I think we must be realistic. I want to set an example as Eastern Cape. I wonder whether Eastern Cape was our Atlantic
teacher.
Eastern Cape, all of us were known as Xhosa. Yet we are not. As I'm saying, Imatatiela is unique. Sotho speaking, but if the board is going to be appointed around East London, Port Elizabeth, and which is going to happen anyway? Which is going to happen anyway along those areas? So it means the person from Matatia, even there could be an interpreter. Where are they going to get that interpreter? They are going to get that interpreter amongst themselves here within this area. But the person who can speak the Southern Sotho, was Matatia, they are speaking Southern Sotho. So I don't know if you...
Because the requirement of the post when they're appointing, when they're advertising, so they will say, for this, you must be able to speak Xhosa. Preferable. You see, you do that in the advert. I'm just trying to check the relevant provision in the Act. For the process to be followed for the appointment of
And in the meantime, as is the case here, we are talking about members of the tribunal.
Yeah.
Now in this instance, just to explain, if you have three members of the tribunal and one of them, as an honourable member is suggesting, must speak the local language, you still need the interpreter for the other ones who don't speak the language.
No.
So in this case, for instance, you couldn't for instance say that because there's one member of the tribunal who speaks Southern Sotho, therefore you don't need the interpreter because the trial will be fair.
Right.
because the other two still need the interpreter. So in practical terms, you still, even currently, Chair, in the tribunal sitting, have an interpreter who converses between the witness and the tribunal.
All right, let's leave it with the chief. Let's carry on. We're looking into the interests of the tenant and the landlord.
Yes,
that it was not the interest of the members of the tribunal. We want to equip the tribunal with people that can converse with the community, with the tenants and the landlords to make an appeal process or any other process to work out for them, and that is why we suggest that. But I mean, office by our law people.
Thank you, Chair.
Any other person who can get the internet and print the demographics?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. 1C, the tribunal may function as two committees, each with three members with the expertise set out in subsection 1B, and with one committee being chaired by the chairperson and the other by the deputy chairperson, as the chairperson may determine. C, by the substitution in subsection 2 for paragraph B of the following paragraph, B, the MEC has consulted with the relevant standing or portfolio committee of the provincial legislature, which is responsible for human settlement matters in the province. D, by the substitution of subsection 3 of the following subsection. 3, the MEC may appoint up to 6 persons to serve as alternative members of the tribunal in the absence of any member referred to in paragraph B of subsection 1, but such persons must have the relevant expertise contemplated in paragraph B of subsection 1 and must serve as alternative members for a member with similar expertise. And E.
B, are we saying B for the expertise in rental property and
yes.
legal? Or okay.
yes.
Not the B of gender, right?
No,
but,
no.
Okay.
Yes. All right. For A, a person appointed in terms of section 4 may not serve for more than 2 consecutive terms. For B, succession plans must be adopted and must provide for the replacement of members in such a manner that, for the sake of continuity, all members are not replaced at the same time. For C, members already appointed at the time of commencement of the Rental Housing Amendment Act 2013 and who have already served 2 consecutive terms may be reappointed for an additional term of not more than 18 months to ensure continuity. Amendment of Section 10. Section 10 of the Principal Act is hereby amended, A, by the substitution of subsection 1 of the following subsection. 1, the tribunal must meet on such days and during such hours at such place as the chairperson of the tribunal may determine after consultation with other members of the tribunal. B, by the insertion after subsection 1 of the following subsection, 1A, the tribunal may, subject to subsection 5, arrange 2 separate meetings in dealing with matters contemplated in subsection 4A for purposes of effective functioning, provided that such meetings shall happen simultaneously. And C, by the substitution of subsection 5 of the following subsection, the quorum of any meeting of the tribunal is 3 members, of which one must be a member appointed in terms of Section 9.1b and 3.
A decision.
Yes,
number. Basic woman, and what is I 7? It is not. A decision, yes.
It
is decision of the
tribunal.
Proposal,
Chair, it decision of the committee, mm-hmm. tribunal committee, which is formed of 3 members, mm-hmm. is to be deemed a decision of the
tribunal.
Yes, Chair.
Is it going to be here?
Yes, chef. Yes, chef. Amendment of Section 13 of the Principal Act 11. Section 13 of the Principal Act is hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 4C for the word proceeding subparagraph 1 of the word of the following words: make any other ruling that is just and fair to terminate any unfair practice, including, without detracting from the generality of the foregoing, a ruling to discontinue, amongst others, but not limited to, B, by the substitution, subsection 5 of paragraph A of the following paragraph: A, prevailing economic conditions, then we omit supply and demand; C, by the substitution of subsection 11 of the following subsection: 11, the tribunal must within 30 days of receipt of a complaint refer any matter that relates to eviction to a competent court. D, by the deletion of subsection 12 of the words and at the end of the paragraph B, and by the insertion in that subsection after paragraph C of the following paragraph: D, make a ruling to compel payments of rent as specified in a lease, and areas and area rentals, if any; E, in respect of any matter over which it has jurisdiction, make any order that is necessary to give effect to this act; E, by the insertion after subsection 12 of the following subsections: 12A, the tribunal may on its own accord and at the request of one of its members or on application by any affected person rescind or vary any of its ruling in such rulings; A, where earnestly sought or granted in the absence of the person affected by it; B, contain an ambiguity or pattern or error or omission, but not only to extent of clarifying that ambiguity or correcting that error or omission; C, where granted as a result of a mistake common to all parties to the proceedings; B, 12, the tribunal may act on its own accord when supplementing or amending accessory or consequential matters, including A, cost orders; B, altering an order for cost where it was made without hearing the parties; C, interest on ruling debts; D, clarification of a ruling so as to give effect to the tribunal's true intention; and E, correcting clerical, arithmetical, or other errors in its ruling, provided that any substantive change to the ruling must be made within 14 days of the ruling being made. 12C, an application for rescission of variation must be brought within 14 days of the ruling being received by the affected person. Amendment of Section 14. Section 14 of the Principal Act is hereby amended: A, by the substitution of subsection 1 of the following subsection: 1, every local municipality must establish a rental housing information office to advise tenants and landlords with regards to their rights and obligation in relation to dwellings within its area of jurisdiction, provided that the local municipalities may combine the functions of the rental housing information office with an existing office.
Oh, that's good. So what was Salga's problem here?
They wanted something
different. B, by the substitution of subsection 2 of the following subsection: 2, every local municipality may, subject to the laws governing the appointment of local government officials, appoint, or designate officials to carry out any duties pertaining to such rental housing information office. Amendment of Section 15. Section 15 of the Principal Act is hereby amended: A, by substitution of subsection 1 for the word preceding paragraph A of the following words: the minister may make regulations after consultation with the relevant parliamentary committees and every MEC by a notice in the Gazette relating to. B.
Does it deal with the issue of the public participation here? Yeah. Because that is where end consultations. That's where Salga was crying.
But it was clarified, this one is totally different from what it was explained to them.
Yeah.
That this relates to the minister who accounts to parliament.
Mm-hmm.
So, have you heard anything that you... But it must not be here.
It's... Chairperson, in the Principal Act... Yes, Chairperson, only in the Principal Act, it talks about the manner in which the minister needs to do that. It says that the minister must, after consultation, on two, to say that at least 1 month prior to the publication of any regulation contemplated in subsection 1, the minister must, by notice in the Gazette, set out the minister's intention to publish regulation and setting out the processes, inviting relevant interested persons, comments and regulations.
Let me just ask a legal semantic. Must or may? Or should?
No, must.
The minister must, may, should. Which one?
Anything
no,
which
we
may
agreed
or must.
On may.
May.
We agreed on may. But may. They know that it's going to
may or must.
By the substitution in subsection 1 of paragraph B of the following paragraph, B, procedures and manner in which the proceedings of the tribunal must be conducted, including circumstances and processes of for submitting an appeal. These are the things that the minister needs to make regulations on. By the insertion of subsection 1F of the words end and at the end of subparagraph 11, by the deletion in subsection 1F of the words or at the end of subparagraph 12, F, by the insertion in paragraph 1 of paragraph F of the following paragraph. FA, norms and standards that are aligned to the policy framework set out in section 2.3 in relation to the 2.1 terms and conditions of the lease, 2. Safety, health and hygiene, 3. Basic living conditions including access to basic amenities,
services.
Yes, basic services. Yes. For consistency in relation to the other recommended. Size, overcrowding and affordability, provided such norms and standards may be set per geographical area. Chairperson, provided such norms and standards may be set per geographical area to avoid unfair practice particular to that area.
What does that mean? Because the size of the house,
Chairperson, I think the intention there was basically to provide flexibility with regard to different areas. Because when you say that the minister, what you need to do by way of regulations, need to provide norms and standards. But those norms and standards must be set.
Sir, I understand that. Tell me, the minister has to provide norms and standards that are aligned to the policy framework set out in section 2, subsection 3. What does that, what does that 2 subsection, because it is in relation to safety. This safety is safety. Whether you are in a rural province, you are in a metro, safety is safety. How do you define safety as a Yabu rural. How do you differentiate? It says here rural area, ne metro, urban. Its size still it's such a long zakon. Kuli differential njani iyase ezilalini. Because ezilalini emathathini sinazo izinto ezinkulu. So you mean ukuthi if isize yasemathathini inkulu but geographically izowahluka. So I want an explanation for this one. How do you define overcrowding? Because overcrowding is overcrowding. Whether it's the way it's set up. Because if you remember, indaba yokuhlala kokoronta, you can't allow abantu bahlale kokoronta more than abantu abangu 10. Health-wise, it's a risk. So that is why the full explanation, yale ndawo ethi, provided such norms and standards may be set per geographical area to avoid unfair practices.
Chair, when I recall, it was the logic that said when these regulations are set, yes, there will be national norms and standards that everyone must fall in, but there must be a leeway for geographic areas in the sense that a rental stock in the rural Matatiel might not necessarily be the same as the one in Santin.
Okay,
give leeway for that, notwithstanding that there will be normal standard norms that are there, but you got to consider the difference in terms of geographic areas.
No. This F, only norms and standards that are set there, but I think law provided that such norms and standards listen to that area, then come back to SB. Then USB, I think we are on our calculations that norms and that issue of geographical consideration, it has to come here to SB. It applies to SB, not to SA.
No, I want to ask what are we trying to address here, the last two lines of F. Before F, let me say FA.
FA, yes.
If it's not there, will there be a problem?
That's what I'm saying. This one, provision, your geographical area, it must come to this, to SB.
Yes.
Otherwise, in norms and standards, they are the same.
Yes.
It's safety, it's safety whether you are in a rural area.
Yes.
But we are going to check the bylaws. We are going to be guided by the bylaws. But the issue of your safety,
yeah,
you cannot compromise just
yes,
because I'm in a rural setup.
That's true.
It cannot be compromised. So that is why let's move this calculation of London, even as that.
Yeah.
No, and I will suggest we expand this, Chair.
Right.
And then we just don't write it anywhere. And then B remains as is, because this is about the payments and the deposits. I don't know how the provided for, or how is it relevant to FB.
Okay.
So the best thing is just to remove it. It's not there. And then we remain with FB as is.
Okay.
What we can
I've explained to the public in norms and standards they are the same.
Yeah.
It's safety is safety.
Yeah.
And the size is size.
Yes.
The size I'm on this space and it.
Yeah.
So I don't think we are bound to put it here, the do it geographically. But it but in terms of e rent. Yeah, it's in there. Include that because
we don't even have to put
it. Why I say we must remove it at FB, it is not relevant.
Okay, must be
because there you are talking about the escalation and the deposit. Whether you are in the rural area or you are in Santen, the deposit and the escalation. You can use the same principle. If it's going to increase by 10%, it is 10% throughout the country, including in the rural areas and the urban areas. It's just that the amount won't be the same.
Yeah.
But
the amount won't be the same.
So what we can say,
we can put that sentence, but we remove the first few words that says provided that such norms and standards. That one we remove. Then we can say, may be said per geography. So meaning we can say, the calculation method for escalation of rental amounts and the maximum rate of deposit, which may be powerful in respect of a dwelling, may be said per geographic area to avoid unfair practices particular to that area. That's it. Then it covers it.
Because that was the intention.
It was only spoiled by saying norms and standards. Because norms and standards are universal.
G, by addition of the following subsection, the minister must issue the regulation contemplated in section 1, B, F, and FA within 12 months of the commencement of the Rental Housing Amendment Act 2013. Amendment of section 4 and 5, chapters 4 and 5 of the Principal Act are hereby amended by removing section 15 from chapter 4 and inserting it under chapter 5 before section 16. Amendment of section 16 of the Principal Act is hereby amended A by the substitution of for paragraph A of the following paragraph. A fails to comply with section 4 of 5.1. B by the insertion after paragraph A of the following paragraph. A interferes with the rights of the tenant and landlord set out in section 4A and 4B. Fails to fulfill his or her obligation as landlord in terms of section 4B, 1 and C and 11 respectively. And C, by the substitution for paragraph G for the following paragraph, G fails to comply with any rulings of the tribunal. Substitution for section 16, the following section is substituted for section 17 of the Principal Act. Review. Without prejudice to the constitutional rights of any person to gain access to a court of law, the proceedings of a tribunal, including an appeal in terms of section 17A, may be brought under review before the High Court within its area of jurisdiction. The new insertion, section 17, deals with the appeal. On that one, Chair, we have reworked on it, but the perspective thereof, because Bongi will give us the understanding part of how we intend to reword it, as we have discussed it. Or not.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, we have spoken to this issue last time, and the honorable members were not convinced by our submissions. And after we had discussions then relating to this, we thought to seek guidance of honorable members about how to do this. The two things that we mainly considered are the issues, for instance, relating to
the issue of appointment of adjudicators. We thought that the adjudicators are going to be some level of higher authority than the current housing tribunal. And therefore, the adjudicator that is currently provided for in this clause says that the adjudicators will be, be appointed by the secretariat. Now, this issue was raised in the public hearings to say there needs to be some level of authority higher than the secretariat as it relates to the appointment of adjudicators. That's the first point that confused us. And the second point was the secretariat, it explained to us by the department that the secretariat is a directorate within the Department of Human Settlement that supports the Rendell Housing Tribunal. And therefore, we thought if it's then a directorate of officials, it cannot then have the competence to appoint a higher authority than the current tribunal. And therefore, we had crafted something that says that the appointment of appeal adjudicators must be by the MEC, who is the higher authority and competent authority with regard to issues of human settlement. So that's how we thought we would change in the current provision, we would remove the reference to secretariat to be the MEC.
The MEC.
Yes. If they're members of
the secretariat is only
No, I'm just clarifying the issue of the secretariat. Here in the bill, it says against the with the secretariat of the tribunal appointed in terms of section 11(1). You go to section 11(1) of the act. It's talking about the staff of the tribunal. As it stands now, the secretariat is located within the tribunal, not as a directorate. It says here in the act itself, the staff required for the proper performance of the tribunal's functions and the administration of this act must be appointed subject to the laws governing the public service. The staff may include inspectors, technical advisors, mediators, and administrative support staff. That is the staff of the tribunal. It doesn't mention anything about the directorate within the department. They are the staff of the tribunal. I was going now with
the
secretary.
No, we're not saying
it's
in
the
secretary.
It's not separately.
Yes, yes, Your Honorable Chair. Bongi is actually saying the same thing that we're saying, that the secretariat is formed of staff members. And those staff members fall under the department because they report to the Department of Housing. That's what the department tells us anyway.
It can be changed or it can be directed.
So what we were then suggesting, I don't know if Bongi has a different view, what we were then suggesting, Chair, was that in the appeal, the reference to the secretariat, which is staff, as Bongi has just read for us, should be replaced by reference to the MEC, who is the higher authority. That was the first thing. The second thing was the issue of the number of days, because in the public hearings it was raised that the 21 days is too long a period for the person to appeal from the tribunal to the appeal to the adjudicator or to the higher authority. And therefore that period needed to be, it was proposed to be shortened. And we thought that in this regard we would source the guidance of members, because various examples elsewhere, there is no consistency in the examples. Elsewhere is 21 days, elsewhere is less than 21 days. So we thought that the members could perhaps give us what they deem to be reasonable time, which is not 21 days, in order for the person to appeal from the tribunal to the higher authority.
The 21 days, is it not within 21 days and somebody can appeal? Yeah. So you can appeal within a day. Yeah.
So we can actually change that.
Within.
Thank you, Chair. 18.
It was 21 the least days. It was 31, 21, and what's the other days?
21. Then the completion. Completion of the process is 30 days. So that the appeal
must be finalized.
But I think it,
the appeal must be finalized.
Isn't it 14 days enough for the appeal?
For tribunal.
For the appeal to be
lost.
Yeah.
To be lost.
Yeah, yeah.
Because remember, it's about accessibility and speed resolution. 21 days, isn't it too far?
It's too far. It's in a pile-up.
Yeah.
Because what we are saying is that within this period, it must be done.
Okay.
But it's possible that,
yeah,
you know, somebody might not be able to do it.
If Fumana is ruling yam today,
yeah.
I can make an appeal tomorrow or 2 days after.
Yeah.
So I'm within the 21 days. But I
but
think
the adjudicators must deal with it within
14
days.
14 is a good
thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you are with state now.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we are still contesting Leopard.
Yeah. But can't we put this, they must speedily deal with it, but with it not exceeding 30 days. Because we must also be practical. It might not be possible. You lodge a complaint today. It might not be possible for people to sit within 7 days. And as they go and sit on the 8th day, they can, the proceedings might overlap beyond 14 days. And it will...
Not
exceeding.
I think what we would rather do, then let's for the purpose of our colleagues, just give them the reasoning why this thing came up, of the appeal. Remember the Western Cape Tribunal said they were pushing for us to scrap the appeal because of they said it might be cumbersome and it might be abused by the landlords who's got money to say, let's appeal so that they protect time. So they said to us, honorable members, just have a look that you make it more easy and accessible and speedily.
Yes.
Okay? So if you don't scrap the appeal in totality because it might be open for abuse, then limit it. Because of in any case, the decision of the tribunal and of the appeal are subject for review. So a rich landlord will say, okay, I will just protract this thing. I will say I will appeal. And then don't worry, it's going to take 30 days, it's fine. After the 30 days, I will take it to review for court. So why don't we make the appeal to be in a very speedily time frame? So if we say 14 days, then at least we're making sure that that vulnerable tenant or that vulnerable landlord, whoever it might be, have access to quick and easy and accessible justice at the shortest space of time. So that whoever is aggrieved, if they intend to take it for review to the High Court, then there is still time.
Yeah.
But for that vulnerable tenant, 14 days should be enough for them to have that appeal to be dealt with. But the premise is coming from these two scenarios. It's either we were scrapping the appeal or we were limiting it in terms of the time frame so that it's quicker and faster and accessible. That was the essence of the argument. The bone of contention was that one.
Yes, I tend to follow the argument of 14 days for the filing of the appeal as opposed to 21.
Yes.
The 14 days is the maximum. You can file it within a day or two, but the maximum period is 14 days.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the referrer to the adjudicator, they must finalize it within 30 days. That's what the bill is saying, within 30 days of receipt. They're going to consider it within 30 days of receipt from the.
So the 14 days
is for
30 days.
It's two separate processes. You're going to receive the decision of the tribunal, and you as an aggrieved party, you're not happy. You're going to file an appeal, lodge an appeal with the MEC within 14
days.
Yes. After when the MEC received it, it's going to do the admin process. It's going to appoint the adjudicators. Once the adjudicators are appointed, they must, within 30 days of receipt of that, they must finalize it. And I believe 30 days is enough for them to consider us. I wouldn't recommend to reduce the period for them to look, but they must consider all the relevant factors.
Sorry.
Within that 14 days, the operation and execution of the order in question shall be suspended pending the decision of the appeal. Fine. The appeal must be finalized within 30 days of referral by the secretariat. So, Tepase referring, Bani? Then the adjudicators may refer the matter back to the tribunal and confirm, set aside or amend the decision. After 30 days.
Within that 30 days. Within that 30 days,
It can't be that long.
Long, maybe? No, because it's going to come back and it's going to be...
So the option is...
I think that 30 days on
enough.
Yes.
I think it sounds better.
Within
that 30 days.
Let's not say after.
Yes.
Within 30 days. From the 14th day, you will come to 1, 2, up to 30. Mm-hmm. Or I say 16, 17.
Yeah, that's
because those adjudicators are there. Mm-hmm. There's a pool.
The 14 days must include the 30.
No. We mustn't do that. You know, the 14 days is a separate thing altogether. The adjudication is a different matter.
Okay.
And we must stick to 30 days. Because you see, that if we're talking about maybe ourselves here, we can handle it that way, that from the it becomes the 15, the 16. But you are dealing with 58 million people who might have difficulties of one form or the other.
Okay.
And that appeal board that is there might find itself faced with files and files, and they become inefficient because of the law that we have passed. So I think let's stick to the two separate processes, 14 days and within 30 days.
I agree with you, colleague.
Thank you, Chair. I'm closing the last paragraph. Substitution of expression in Act 50-18. The principal act is hereby amended by the substitution for the expression local authority, wherever it occurs, of the expression local municipality. Transitional provisions 19. Any additional or amended obligations imposed upon a landlord or a tenant by the Rental Housing Amendment Act 2013 shall become effective 6 months from the date of commencement of the Rental Housing Amendment Act 2013. Short title, the commencement, this act is called the Rental Housing Amendment Act 2013 and comes into operation on the date determined by the President by proclamation in the Gazette.
So, that 19, it talks about the transitional, it means those leases that are not in writing currently will have a 6 month transitional period to become effective.
To come effective.
Okay. So and then those that are here currently, they are not null and void, but within the 6 months, after the 6 months, they become null and void. Okay. And then.
Tomorrow is 38 on the amendment. You are adopting the bill.
tomorrow. We intend to finish this bill tomorrow, but you are not going to finish for the sake of finishing. You know, we are going to run through the A list. We agree upon it. If there are mistakes and so on, before it is taken for printers, it normally goes for printers. Before it goes there, we check, and then before, when it comes from printers,
we can consider tomorrow the amendment.
Yes.
And you agree, and then the next meeting, then you just address
on Thursday. Say, vela we government printers. Ngoba sifuna ivela ku government printers, si adopt ivela ku government printers. As he adopt into says our government printers. So what are you suggesting now?
But tomorrow you're gonna get the A list that will be declared.
Again.
Go through it law by law, you check all for the amendment.
Again.
And then the following the next meeting we're gonna have
this our government printers for time.
Yeah, after the committee has resolved
after the committee.
Yes, immediately after that
it's
gonna be
the government printers they are adopter. Not going to go there.
Yeah. What happens tomorrow?
We are doing A list now. I hope there are these scholarships. Because of the best deal, today we were considering clause by clause of the bill as it was introduced. So we were making an input now, officially, into that. Clause by remember, we didn't do cross by.
Yeah.
So today we're doing cross by. Tomorrow now, the process is going to be led by somebody else, the state law advisor. Our state law advisor. After the file of the city, that document. Incorporate all those issues we are raising. They are incorporated officially. So we are going to confirm them, clause by clause.
Does it include the inputs from the public submission?
No, it's no longer public submission. It's our input now.
Yeah, those ones that you sent, those response that you sent from, remember you sent on Friday you sent the input from the public and our response from the public. When do we consider them? Are they part of
the
agenda?
They are the ones that we are dealing with them now.
To the
we are following the procedures now.
Okay.
Procedures. So,
and then tomorrow
so he's going to lead us. We are going to prepare the
agency.
Okay. Now they are going to prepare the agency.
Yeah.
So we are going to run through the agency clause by clause.
Okay.
To ensure that all these issues we are raising now.
Yeah.
They are inserted in that. Then if we are agreeing, in the afternoon, they will take this to the government printer.
Okay.
So that the government printer can print it,
before
we adopt it.
Okay.
Why we are doing that? We have got an experience. I want to learn who honorable Fabi. What was the way because what is happening? There are mistakes, things that we have not agreed upon. So we have adopted the status before we adopted this. The government printers must have done their job. I print about Chinese language, English, and so on. Then it comes back to us. We adopt it. Once we adopt that bill, you will go with your copy, test copies, so that when we meet tomorrow, the other day, we don't see something that we have not.
So what is our program
next week? I was thinking of practicality. What is our program next week Tuesday?
No, it's practical. They know. They will do it.
Tomorrow
because we are set to finish this bill this week. Next week we are not doing dealing with this bill. Why are we going to so they've been allocated. We have enough. We are finalizing it this week. Next week, no bill. But you must have been. We can't have a division.
Oh, the meeting is adjourned. They are going to send it out of order. The meeting is adjourned.
Yes, after.